We live in an interesting time for mashup culture. If anyone saw, say, the Lego movie, you saw a movie that had characters from Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and Speed Racer and DC Comics and more, all messing around with one another. The new Wreck-It Ralph has not only all the Disney princesses hanging out together, but Star Wars and other characters mixing in with the various video game characters. There's a direct-to-video adaptation of Willy Wonka starring Tom and Jerry. You go to the toy store, and there's not only a version of Chenga that is Star Wars Chenga, it's Angry Bird Star Wars Chenga. Everything slides together. But that's not a totally new phenomenon. Japanese monsters used to cross between movies regularly. Abbott and Costello met Frankenstein. Our idea of superhero universes is grounded in people from one series meeting people from another. Sometimes putting more than one brand on something works. Peanuts has not been utterly immune to that, but they never dived in full force either. The Peanuts characters didn't show up in Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, for example, the 1990 animated special that brought Muppet Babies and Winnie the Pooh and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and Alf and Smurfs and Bugs Bunny and much more together to encourage kids not to do drugs. Because if there's anything that encourages people not to do drugs, it's a colorful video filled with talking animals. But the Peanuts characters, nowhere to be seen in that, or even in MetLife's 2012 Super Bowl commercial, which of course had the Peanuts characters, but also had Speedy Gonzales and Pepe Le Pew and Waldo of Where's fame, Casper and Jetsons and Richie Rich and Penelope Pitstop and Underdog and He-Man and oh so many more coming together. Except the Peanuts characters were not really with the other characters. Were never seen with them. They were only in separate shots by themselves. They didn't cross over. Now, sure, Schultz would occasionally do a drawing for some special project, whether it be Mickey Mouse meeting the Flying Ace or the world-famous painter dripping some paint on Otto, the dog from Beetle Bailey. But Peanuts is mostly isolated. It's a thing unto itself. Its universe is complete and protected. If it needs no adults in it, it surely does not need Snagglepuss and Voltron. And some things are solid that way. Like a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. I mean, The Sound of Music? That's a brand in itself. It doesn't need any tie-in to sell. Oklahoma is Oklahoma. It doesn't need any other branding to sell. Even the lesser-known Rodgers and Hammerstein pieces can count on Rodgers and Hammerstein being the brand. They are the top goods in writing musicals, right? Only back in 1983, someone disagreed with me on that. Let me explain. Columbia Pictures Publications, a division of Columbia Pictures, the movie studio, was publishing sheet music books. For some things, they licensed the Peanuts characters, and it made at least some sense. If you don't have any other inherent brand, well, a Peanuts piano course should sound better to the purchaser than just any piano course. Snoopy's Easy Piano album? Sure. Schroeder's Favorite Classics? Absolutely. But someone decided that the Peanuts characters would help sell Rodgers and Hammerstein. So they came out with sheet music books with titles like Snoopy Goes to Broadway to See the King and I. And it's a collection of sheet music for the songs from The King and I, with spot Peanuts illustrations leading off each song. The images are taken from the strip, and are meant to be at least somewhat on mark with the song, if possible. For example, The March of the Siamese Children has a picture of Snoopy leading a marching line of Beagle Scouts. If you check the back covers of these books, you'll see that the series included Snoopy Goes to Broadway to See South Pacific, Snoopy Goes to Broadway to See State Fair, Snoopy Goes to Broadway to See Flower Drum Song, Snoopy Goes to Broadway to See The Sound of Music, Snoopy Goes to Broadway to See Oklahoma. Oh, and that's a title that I have to object to. Oklahoma is not the name of a musical. Oklahoma is the name of a state. If you go to Broadway to See Oklahoma, you probably mean the Broadway Urban Event Center in Tulsa. And even that isn't on Broadway, it's on South Kenosha Avenue. In Oklahoma, which, as I said, is a state. The musical is Oklahoma! With an exclamation point at the end, which they get right on the front cover of the Snoopy Goes to Broadway to See Oklahoma book, thank goodness, but not when they list it elsewhere. I'm picky that way. But the covers of these books, well, some of them justify the odd nature of the Peanuts, Rodgers, and Hammerstein mashup. Some of them are lovely. I assume that it's fake Schultz, but it's very nicely done fake Schultz. The King and I cover shot is of what looks to be a Peanuts production of the play, with Snoopy playing the King and a smiling Lucy playing I. Or the Snoopy Goes to Broadway to See Oklahoma cover, with Snoopy driving a pretty little Surrey with a fringe on the top, Lucy riding the back seat, Cowboy Charlie Brown standing by the side, and they all have nice hats. The Surrey itself has a problem. It only has three wheels. Someone didn't draw in that left rear wheel that is furthest from the viewer, even though we can see other details where it should be. But hey, with the world-famous Surrey driver at the reins, I'm sure he can handle it. There were two other titles in this series that didn't follow the Snoopy Goes to Broadway naming format. One is Snoopy Plays Broadway and TV Favorites by Richard Rodgers, a collection of pieces, some of which, like March of the Siamese Children, are in the other books, while some are not, like Theme from Victory at Sea. That switch in title is interesting because it takes Snoopy from being audience to being a performer. The cover image is of Snoopy on stage preparing to play a grand piano as other Peanuts characters watch from the audience. Now, the way Snoopy is seated, his entire body is on the piano bench, and there is no way that his feet could reach down to the piano pedals, which explains why they conveniently got him a piano with no pedals. The remaining title is Snoopy Goes to the Theater to See Cinderella, and this title was necessary because Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella had never been on Broadway. Had Snoopy gone to Broadway to see Cinderella, he would have been 30 years too early. The show began previews in January of 2013 and ran for about 2 years. To a certain degree, even saying that Snoopy went to the theater to see Cinderella is a slight cheat. There have been productions done for theaters, but the show wasn't created for that. It was a televised production, and in fact has been produced for TV several times, first with Julie Andrews in the title role, then Leslie Ann Warren, and then Brandy. Still, I can understand why the publishers didn't want to name this book Snoopy Lumps Out in Front of the Television Watching Cinderella. The books are all copyright to Studio 224, with an address listed in Hialeah, Florida. I tried to do some Google research on Studio 224, and because it's in Florida, I reckon it may not be the same as Studio 224, the recording studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's probably not the same as Studio 224, a graphic design club at California University, which, as you might guess, is not in Florida. It's also not in the state of California. It's in the state of Pennsylvania, in a town called California. Of course. And it's almost certainly not the same as Massage Studio 224 in North Salt Lake, Utah. And speaking of massages, if you have a massage you want to get out, consider advertising here on the Og Blog podcast. Or not. I still haven't decided whether I'm going to be taking advertising. I promised myself that I'd give this podcast a year before figuring out if anyone was listening. And at least some of you are, I know. Well, all of you are, of course. If you're hearing this, you're obviously listening. But if I want to sell advertising, I'll have to figure out just how many of you are out there. But we're only about a month from this show's anniversary. I launched the Og Blog podcast last year during the month of Ogtober, and I've managed to keep the weekly schedule so far. We'll see what I choose to do beyond the one-year mark. I'm not really sure. But if you have suggestions, any questions, any comments, compliments, or complaints, email them to questions@aug.com. That's AAUGH.com. And be sure to stop by the blog at blog.aug.com. That's where I keep up on all the news, announcements of new books, reviews of the latest thing, occasional wry commentary. And until next time, may all the exclamation points in your life be in place. May all your Surreys have enough wheels. And may all your griefs be good ones.